away. Said I am down, come down here low, and I need your power. Show me the way, show me the way, Lord, show me the way. Please, Lord, show me the way, show me the way. Said I am, I'm now near, Lord, and I need your power. Show me the way, Lord. Show me the way. Hallelujah. Show me the way. Said I am, I'm now near, Lord, and I need power. Show me the way.
Good morning, saints.
Amen.
God bless you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you this morning. As we sang, show us the way, O Lord, because we came to better know you. Because you said you are the way, the life, O Lord. And we came because we know that in you there's the way to the life, O Lord. That's why take us now this morning as we stand in your presence. Mold us, Heavenly Father, as we hear your word, O Lord. Clean us by the word. Clean us by the waters of the word, O Lord. So that we can reflect more and more your holiness in us, O Lord. Grant us to be more like you. The more we behold you, O Lord, the more we stand in your presence. Let that power of transformation act in us so that we can reflect you in this evil age, O Lord. Bless us now as we partake of this word. Bless us as we come into this service, O Lord. Bless the whole service, the Sunday school classes upstairs, here downstairs, the musicians, the brethren back there at the instruments, everything, O Lord. Let your glory be shown through this service. We commit ourselves into your hands in the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. So, as usual, we are going just to lay a background of what we are talking about, because we always try to lay that background so that those who were not there last session could know what we are talking about, because we can't just come and start from where we stopped without people, they may be asking, wondering, what is he talking about? Amen. So, we're just trying to lay a background to bring everybody almost to a level, and then we can add a little bit more. So we are talking about the church. We have seen many different aspects in this theme. We spoke about the church, what it is. We spoke about the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is the foundation on which the church will be built. And we said something very important at one stage, that the revelation of Jesus Christ is just the foundation. But the church itself needs to be built upon that revelation. So having the revelation gives you the basis to start your building. Having the revelation is the key starting point, but it's not the thing itself yet. Because we saw Jesus just in the same chapter after Peter received that important revelation of who he is, Jesus telling Peter that when you are converted, help your brethren. So though he had the revelation, but he was not converted yet, you can have the revelation, but to start the building, you need to be converted. And that's why we are talking about now the new birth, because conversion is new birth. Without new birth, you have not started your building yet. You have laid the foundation, you know who is Jesus Christ, you have believed the message of the hour, which is Jesus Christ in our day, you have the revelation, but you need now to get into the body. You need to start now the building, and the building starts with the new birth. If you are not born yet, you can't even count yourself as member of the body. So we were talking about the new birth, which is the condition, the key that brings you into the body. Membership of the body, membership of the church is true new birth. You have seen the prophet saying, you are not joining, that you don't join the church through a membership in a membership book or through a card that they give you or through any kind of way, but you join that church through new birth. You need to be born again. When you are born again, then you are part of the church of the living God. So we were looking about the new birth. We saw first that why we should be born again. We must be born again because our first birth was not correct. We came, as the Bible says, we were conceived in iniquity. We were born in sin. So our old being is contrary to the word of God. That's why anything you try to do to conform to the way of, to the word of God in this body, it will be, you know, it will fail completely, because this body is not meant to live the life of God. You want to enter the kingdom, you want to live the life of God, you have to die first to your first birth, then get born to the kingdom. That's why Jesus says to Nicodemus, to see the kingdom, you must be born again. Because you can't even start to understand the language of the kingdom with your first birth. So your first birth, you must die to it first, then you are candidate to the kingdom. Then you can enter the kingdom. So the last few weeks we've seen now what Jesus meant by being born of water. Being born of water, we saw that water is the word of God. The water represents also the blood. That's why the prophet, when he's speaking about the process of birth, he's talking about water, blood, and spirit. Amen. Water, blood, and spirit, justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because when he speaks about being born of water, he's being born of the word of God, receiving the seed word in you. And that seed word starts the process of birth inside of you. And we've seen also that is referring to water, because before it comes to live in you, he has to wash you first. Because he took you from dirt, from the filthiness, from your old birth, before him, the Holy God, come to dwell in you. He can't dwell in you the way, in the condition you are. He has to justify you first through the cleaning of the water. He forgives your past sins. That's why we've seen that we go into water baptism to testify that a cleaning is being operated inside. The word of God is cleaning you, is cleaning your soul, taking all the dirt, forgiving all your past sins. We symbolized it by going into the water baptism, into the washing of the baptism, to show outwardly that I'm taking position for Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is cleaning my soul and forgiving me of my past sins. But we've seen that the prophet says, he just cleaned you from your past sins. Your future sins is still there because the thing that made you to sin is still in you. You need a bit further. You need a further process for that thing that made you to sin to be taken away. That's why the prophet introduced now the notion of sanctification. Sanctification is, it washes you now. After washing you with water, it cleans you with his blood now to take away the desire of doing of the things that made you sin in the past. Amen. Sanctification comes because sanctification makes you ready for the use he wants to use you for. Because his final aim is to use you in his service. So washing you is okay. Sanctifying you is okay, but his final aim is to come and dwell in you so that he can be working in you and people will see his life through you. That's the final aim. That's the final purpose of him by saving you. That's why we saw getting justified is fine. Getting sanctified is fine. But if you stop there, that's where Jesus refers to that man who has been cleaned for evil spirits. When the spirit is cast away from you, you are justified, you are sanctified, but since you are still empty, you are still open to that spirit to come back again. That's why you need the third step, which is the filling. Amen? Because the house can't stay empty. If it's a clean house, empty, someone will find a way to occupy it. Amen? Because you can't be empty. There's no way we can't be empty. It's whether God or the devil. If the house is empty, someone will come. That's why you need to go further. God has justified you by the waters of the word. He has cleaned you. He has sanctified you through his blood. Now you need to go the next step, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which produces exactly the new birth in you. That's why the prophet says in this sermon, Future Home. But then when he gets sanctified, that cleanses that desire out of him, the desire of sin. It takes the want of it away. You can still be tempted, but it takes the want of it away. Then, still you are not right yet. Then, you are baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. You are cleansed, burnt out, cleaned up, and then put into service of God. Sanctification only sets you aside for service, but you need the burning of the fire now. See, the heart has to be cleansed like that before God can come down in the person of the Holy Ghost, which is Christ, coming down and dwell in the human heart. You must be repentant. You must be baptized into water in his name, to show who you belong to. Then, cleaned by the blood of Jesus, and then the holy fire and the Holy Ghost from God come down and burns out all the desire of sin, all the nature of the world. Amen. That's the final step. Amen. The Holy Ghost coming. In this sermon, The Future Home, the prophet was comparing the way God is redeeming the earth to the way God is redeeming us, the humans. Because in both cases, the Holy God wants to come and dwell in you. The Holy God wants to come to dwell on this earth. The prophet showing that God can't come and dwell in the earth in the condition it is, because it has been soiled. It has been, defiled by sin. But before the Holy God can come, the earth has to go through the three steps. Baptism of water first, which he did in the time of Noah. It got through its baptism of water, because you have to go through the three steps: water, blood, and fire. Amen? Water, blood, and spirit. So the earth went through its water baptism, and then the earth went through its blood baptism, blood cleaning through the spreading of the blood of Jesus Christ on it. So it got sanctified. Now the next step before the Holy God can come and dwell in the earth in the millennium will be the cleaning of fire. The prophet shows that we have to go through the same process as well. Cleaning of water, sanctification by the blood, and then burning of the Holy Spirit. The Holy God now coming and dwelling in you. So if you have not gone through these steps yet, don't count yourself as member of the church yet. You have to. The prophet says, Jesus didn't tell Nicodemus, you know, it's good that you are born again. Or it's optional, you know, you can or you can't. He said, you must be born again. He told Nicodemus, you can't see the kingdom if you are not born again. It's a matter of life or death. It's white or black, whether you are born or whether you are not born. There's no middle ground. So he wanted to make sure about Nicodemus, telling him that you must be born again before you can see the kingdom. Seeing the miracle is fine. Listening to a good sermon, it was okay. Nicodemus got the revelation that this man got the Spirit of God in him. This man is a doctor coming from God. This man has the Holy. But that was not enough. Listening to a good sermon is okay. Going to church is fine. But until you are born again, the job has not started yet. So the prophets carry on saying, you become a new person. Not just an old one patched up by joining church or trying to turn a new page. But you are a complete brand new unit. God takes the old man and burns him completely out with the Holy Ghost and fire, and come himself, send down your representation. Amen. God himself in you. Now he starts expressing his life. Remember when we spoke about the seed, you getting impregnated by the seed of life. It's that seed of life that starts producing the transformation in you. Because there's people that are naturally born good people. Amen. Don't tell me because you donate to poor. Cornelius, amen, in the Bible. Cornelius was a very good man. He was giving, donating to poor, but he was not saved yet. He didn't have the Holy Ghost. He was not born again. You may be naturally a good person, never quarreling, never doing bad, no, but that's not what you are talking about. It's God himself in you producing his own life. When a woman receives the seed of life in her, it's not that woman herself will start transforming her body. You know, it will be that seed of life in her. People will start noticing a change in the woman because she received the seed, and that seed is doing the job in her. You'll see outwardly her shape will start changing. Her speech will start changing. Amen. She'll be always sleeping. Amen. She's not there anymore. Where the people are quarreling, people are talking about going to disco, say all the things of the past are dead. Now I need to care about that new life that is in me. She's reflecting the life that is in her. You won't force it. It's something that people will see, people will notice, and it is an experience. Amen? You have to go through that experience. Remember we spoke about those girls that go to medical school. They learn everything about the steps of pregnancy. They know it very well. If you put a test between a mother and those girls in the medical schools, they'll get more points than the mother. You know, they'll score more than the real mothers because they know all the processes. They know all the chemistry, everything involved in those things. They'll describe it
but they've never been through that experience themselves. But a true mother who has been in that through the experience of getting pregnant, getting the seed word in her, and manifesting the life of the man who impregnated her, she will, she can't even explain it to you. She doesn't know why her tummy is becoming big. If you ask her, write an essay about what you are going through, she'll say, I don't understand it. But I can notice there's a change in me. Right. Amen? Amen? Can you explain it to us? I can't explain, but you can see that I'm a different person. You don't need to go to college to learn it. If it is in you, if that life gets in you, you will notice it. People will notice it. Amen? So that's why the prophet says, if you are born again and got a new parent, then you got a new nature. The old nature is dead, and you have a new nature. You once was going one way, now you are going a different way. Your affections are set on things above. As we have just explained about the pregnant woman. If she likes pork meat, from that time you'll see her, she'll hate pork meat. You'll ask me, why? It's only you, the same you that was, you know, enjoying pork meat. She'll say, I don't like it anymore. Why? Because there's a process. A transforming power is acting in her. Your affections are set on things above. Amen. Amen. We won't be telling you, don't do this, don't do that. No. As we said, if a woman gets pregnant, maybe you may be wondering, am I born again? Am I not born again? There's a time of uncertainty. Amen. You are not really sure. Am I not? It's normal, amen. It's normal for in your Christian experience to go through that period, time of uncertainty. You don't know. But it can't stay forever. If you receive the true seed of life, it can't stay forever, that uncertainty. It will end up by revealing itself. A woman can stay a month, 2 months, I don't know. I know, I don't know, maybe not, but it won't remain forever. It will reveal itself. Amen? So, just make sure what you are standing in your Christian experience, it's taken too long. Even if you are not sure yet, but you must notice something. Something must be happening in you. That's why the prophet says you need to make sure of where you are standing. If you are born again, your affection are set on things above. She will say, oh, I don't know. Am I not? But one thing for sure, that woman will say, I don't know if I'm pregnant or not. I don't know if I'm carrying a seed or not. But one thing I'm sure of, I met that man. Amen? Have you met Jesus Christ? If you have met the true Jesus Christ, Is it an experience? Do you have a record of you meeting, experiencing himself? Because you can't expect to get pregnant if you have not met the man. How can you expect? It happened once. Amen? And that once, anyway, there was a spiritual contact. Amen? Virgin Mary. But there's no two Virgin Marys. Amen? It happened only once and for a purpose. Amen? But if a woman wants to expect a child, want to see a change, that seed in her, how can you expect without the revelation of Jesus Christ in your life? You have to have met him. Unless you have met him, then something can happen. But if you have not met him yet, start by meeting him. Amen. Amen. Now the prophet carries on saying, you don't care what man say, how they laugh at you and say you are an old mother or whatever it is like that. You don't care because you are born of above and your affections are set on things above. Amen. So when it comes to new birth, it's not a matter of your neighbor, of your husband, of what who will think. It's a matter of you, between you and God. And the prophet goes on to say, a new birth in its own, it is a mess. Mm. Amen. It's something, don't expect people to be tapping you on the shoulder to congratulate you because you are born again. It's a painful experience. It's a painful experience. People will reject you. Because the prophet says, every birth is a mess. Don't expect the new birth to be something that people will be happy about. People will laugh you. People will mock you. But he says, don't try to have any sensation or anything to take the place of the Holy Spirit. When the new birth has come, you are changed. You don't have to do anything to prove it. Your life proves it as you walk. You are love, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, patience. That's what you are, and the old world sees the reflection of Jesus Christ in you. This is the thing. Amen? This is it. The old world will testify seeing Jesus Christ in you. But it will be a mess. Though they'll see Jesus Christ in you, but don't expect them to, the old world to agree with you. The prophet says, we all know that the Bible teaches the new birth. And they substituted handshakes and everything else for the new birth. But it will never take the place of the new birth. It's got to be an experience, a born again. We all know that any kind of birth is a mess. When a baby is born, whether it's on the floor or in the chalk of pie, in the chalk pile, or in a pink decorated hospital room, it's a mess anyway. But it brings life. That's what the new birth is. It is a mess. It's got no style or something to put on or declaration or creed, but it is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So just make sure that this thing we are talking about, you have experienced it. It's something that you can, it's a substance, you can hold on to it and show that from that time on, something happened in my life. From that time, I can relate to an experience. Though I didn't really know the exact date, but since that time, I've seen a change in my life. It makes you something that you ought to be. It takes the world and the stiff neck out of you. The prophet says, to finish, that will never take the place of the new birth. When a man or a woman come to the altar and forgets where they are and who is around them until they really die out and are born again. All night prayer meetings and the power of the Holy Ghost get back into the church again. This is the thing. Amen. It's true prayer. You need really to go on your knees, pray, seek the face of God, because it's an experience that comes only behind those sacred sand in the desert. Otherwise, it will be just a sensation, but not the real thing. Let's pray that God help us, every one of us, as we go forward to really go through this experience and see his holy hands in our life. As a church, as an individual, let it become a reality. Amen. Amen. Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, now that we have finished this session, we command the rest of the service into your hands. Take us now through the song worship, the offerings, the individual items, the preaching of the word, everything, O Lord. Let it be for your glory, in the name of our precious Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless you.